LBC, 30 years in the making. LBC.
I'm Howard Hughes, and I'd like to take you back 30 years to 1973.
1973.
Every little boy dreams of riding a chopper, now the best-selling bicycle in Britain.
Top White House aides have been arrested following the Watergate scandal.
The Royal Highness Princess Anne smiles at the crowd gathered to celebrate her marriage to Captain Mark Phipps.
This year's blockbuster film must surely be Live and Let Die.
Good evening. We've got an action-packed evening for you tonight on Thames.
There can be no whitewash at the White House.
Yes, 1973. You're doing 30 in your new Austin Allegro on an early morning trip to Woolwich. Your husband is working on that new Thames barrier. Isn't that one of those new pocket calculators there on the seat beside you? The Sinclair Cambridge, if I'm not mistaken. It's a chilly autumn morning, the 8th of October to be precise, just before 6 o'clock, and you turn on your new VHF FM radio.
After the news, farming. Today, the panel are discussing muck spreading.
Not much there, is there? You tune up the dial a bit, and this, my friends, is where our story begins.
This is London Broadcasting, the news and information voice of Independent Radio. Welcome to LBC at 6 o'clock, October the 8th. My name's David Jessel, this is The Morning Show, and here's the news.
And the news was that Britain's first independent local radio station was on air. The idea for LBC came from Sir Christopher Chataway. Back in 1973, he was the Minister for Posts and Telecommunications.
I went to the United States to have a look at commercial radio. I mean, I thought that I ought to do, to see if there are any ideas. And the one thing that did impress me a lot at the time was were the all-news stations in New York and Washington.
WINS has become the first and only radio station in the New York region to present a continuing all-news service.
From that came the idea of LBC and of IRN.
But behind the scenes on that day, David Jessel.
There is a scurrilous rumour put around, I think largely by me, that I was physically sick just a few seconds before making that momentous announcement. If I wasn't, I should have been. It was so terrifying. You just knew disaster was looming.
The time is 6 o'clock. Good evening. This is John Snow with the news. I'm sorry, the time is 6:30, and this is John Snow with the local news, but first, look at the headlines. 5:30, I'm sorry. Very confusing clock on the wall here.
So the breakfast show was a disaster, but surely it had to get better, right?
Welcome back to 2 in the morning, and a cold... Almost chilly, but lovely sunny morning it is here in London.
I thought you were looking rather goose-pimply this morning.
Yeah, it was very goose-pimply. Very goose-pimply weather.
The first female voice to be heard on LBC, Janet Street Porter. A great face for radio, but what a voice.
There was a story in the paper that Myra has been accepted at the Open University.
What was going on? LBC presenter 30 years ago... Nigel Rees.
It was absolutely disastrous at the beginning. I mean, it's now ancient history when he's talking about people who have long ago moved away. I was very excited at the prospect of LBC starting because I thought there was a chance of doing news and current affairs broadcasting in a new way. And I invented this wonderful word, a news disc jockey. I said, what do you want is a news disc jockey, you know, somebody who could really introduce the news like a disc jockey would. But that didn't seem to happen. I think the basic problem in the early days was that the station was run by newspaper people who didn't know really what all these newfangled things called microphones were, and we had some terrible problems.
Hunt is on for those responsible for a terror bombing in London, which has killed one man and injured 20 other people, two of them children.
Well, we've got to the first afternoon of LBC. Remember, it's 1973, so it must be about time to entertain all those ladies at home with nothing more to do than make cottage pie for their husbands in between reading Woman's Own.
The time on London Broadcasting is 2:10. Welcome to At Home. My name is Belle Mooney. With me in the studio is Steve Merrick, and he is indeed 5 days a week sitting there loyally while Gillian Strickland and I swap over and go off shopping, but Steve's here 5 days a week, and I'm here today, and Gillian...
That's very exciting, because I've never done any radio before. So when I was, as it were, headhunted or whatever happened to me to come on it, and it was the first commercial, it was exciting, you know, I thought, yeah, I'd be part of something. But I was pregnant, and it was... my doctor said, you must be mad, and I knew I was mad, but I wanted to have a go, you see. But, I mean, it was incredibly stressful. Because, you see, half the time your guests didn't turn up, because it was in Gough Square, which, as some listeners will know, is sort of behind the old Fleet Street, but nobody knew where it was. And anyway, you couldn't get guests. All this dead air time. So I used to go into the studio with women's magazine articles. I worked for a magazine called Nova before that. And I'd take in magazine articles I'd written about contraception or whatever kind of stuff, and I would just burble from my piece, you know, and facts and figures, and just making up a feature, ad-libbing, because the guest hadn't shown up. And, gosh, it was very, very stressful. And people were sort of fainting and screaming in the corridors. You know, it was just nightmarish.
And what about those big-name guests in 1973?
Harry Corbett, of Sooty fame, came into the studio on my funny little programme. And if you think about it, there's a glove puppet, there's a silent creature. He's a puppet, but he's a television puppet, isn't he? Because you can't see him. And I kept saying, now, children, Sooty is really in the studio. He is here. You can't see it. You know, this is silent. And Harry Corbett's waving the Sooty around.
Hello, Sooty.
Hello, hello, indeed. Hello to you all. Yes, I'm Sooty's daddy. Sooty's got black ears. He's a little teddy bear, but I'm Sooty's daddy. And Sooty's mummy here because she's Sue's mummy as well. And,
by day two, things had got worse. Most of the advertisers had deserted the station. In the coming months, there were calls in Parliament to have LBC closed down. But to the rescue, broadcaster Adrian Love, who sadly died a few years ago but left us a lot to remember.
I came in here at the suggestion of a friend of mine who had come in on day one as a newsreader. A guy called Paul Ingrams phoned me up and said, get down here, son. Places full of people from Fleet Street who were saying things like, what's that funny black thing? It's a microphone. Oh, is it? Oh, gosh. And he phoned me up and he said, get down here and have a chat. And they offered me an 8-hour phone-in show without an audition. So I started doing Nightline, the original 10 at night till 6 in the morning, open your eyes with matchsticks job. And it was my first time doing talk radio, and it was fascinating.
Time to call in the cavalry, and they came from the BBC. Radio 4 Today editor Marshall Stewart jumped ship to man the pumps on the rapidly sinking SSLBC.
The immediate impressions that I had was one of enormous confusion, a good deal of disorganisation, but interestingly enough, a very strong sense of enthusiasm and energy and commitment from the start. I think to a certain extent they operated in the way that they knew best, and that for many of them was based on newspaper technology, newspaper styles, and that was one of the fundamentals that had to be changed. So in a sense one began from the beginning to try to create a format which would be attractive to the listeners and which would also accommodate, of course, breaking news and 24 hours of news. It gave suddenly London and also set the style for the UK the opportunity for news to be broken immediately when it was important.
Marshall brought with him the man who became the voice of commercial radio, Douglas Cameron.
I'd worked with Marshall Stewart, one of the greatest bosses I ever had, on the Radio 4 Today programme for nearly 5 years. And when he left for LBC, he said to me, do you fancy coming over to present the breakfast show? And I said to him, do you think this station's got a future? I'm not so sure. And he said to me, with people like you on board, it has. And I'll get them. And he did. And 29 and a half years later, I'm still here.
Marshall also got big names like David Frost to do a phone-in. Even a recently resigned Prime Minister got his own show.
Music is all pervasive. It permeates almost every aspect of our daily lives. Perhaps the extent to which this is so isn't fully
recognized. Edward Heath hosting a classical music program for LBC.
30 years in the making.
Still to come, the phone-in comes of age.
Morris from Ealing.
Good morning, Brian. There's an American expression...
Oh, just a moment. Did you write me a letter recently?
I wrote you a letter.
You wrote me an offensive letter, didn't you?
I don't think it was offensive.
It was downright offensive, and you're not going to speak on the programme until you apologise.
And more storm clouds gather.
It's 9 o'clock. I'm Jonathan Staples. LBC has lost its licence to broadcast to London.
LBC, 30 years in the making.